This whole thing, what you're talking about, Congressional District 7, sounds so much like what's happening within the party in North Dakota. And maybe it's not a surprise that the two areas geographically are right next to each other, but if you talk to Alex Balazs, who's running for Congress in North Dakota against an incumbent, he'll kind of say the same kind of things that you are saying, and that is, we go through all this work at the party level to do things to build some, you know, momentum here within the party, and then you have an incumbent who does not want to go to the. I don't know if Congresswoman Fischbach has said if she's going to go to the endorsing convention. I don't know if that's her plan. But Congresswoman Fedorchuk did not go, is not the endorsed candidate, and yet figures to win probably fairly easily in the race in North Dakota. And it's leaving a lot of people like myself who don't really have a dog in any of these fights to say, does the party really mean much anymore when you've got incumbents that are not participating at all and they seem to find ways to continue to win? How do you see that happening from a 10,000-foot perspective?
I think there's a similar situation in Minnesota, Steve. First of all, the endorsing convention is a week and a couple days from now on Saturday, April 25th in Marshall, Minnesota. Michelle will be there. I will be there. I signed the pledge to abide by the decision of the delegates on the 25th. Interestingly enough, even though Representative Fischbach announced her candidacy in May of 2025 for the 2026 cycle, so almost a year ago, she waited and waited to sign that pledge to abide until after I had signed it. I find that interesting. But we both have pledged that whatever the decision that the delegates make on the 25th is what we'll abide by, which means if I win, if I get the 60% or greater, she won't go to the primary. That's what the pledge means. Now, legally, she's allowed to do it. Nobody in the state, no law enforcement person or anybody is going to tell her that she broke the law, because she wouldn't be. But it certainly would break faith with the party members, with the delegates, and those who put so much effort into this. As to the situation in Minnesota and how it's similar to North Dakota, it really is. A year ago, during the week of March 24th, 2025, our state party chair, Alex Plekish, went to Washington, D.C. for the entire week, Steve, to visit his daughter. He took a daughter with him and had some fun out there with surprising his daughter that lives out there on her birthday and so on and so forth. But while he was there, he was summoned to a meeting by U.S. Representative Tom Emmer and the other three Republican members of Congress in Minnesota, like the godfather. And Alex Plekish, the state party chair, said, "Hey, look, I'm the new chair. I need your help. We need to raise funds." And he was told, you don't matter. The party doesn't matter. We are the big four mighty Republican members of Congress, and we don't need you. And so we have a similar situation in Minnesota, and I'm going to guess that there's situations like this all over the country, and it's a cancer on the party, and it's a bad situation, Steve.
How do we get here, Dave, do you think, in this issue?
It's arrogance, and you know, members of Congress thinking that they're bigger than they are and that they take the voters and the delegates for granted, and they should never do that.
Okay, but if they're overwhelming favorites and they keep winning, then they're right, aren't they?
Well, there is a pragmatic sense of what you're saying, only in this case, Michelle has a real chance of losing. I remember last time in 2024, she beat her opponent, Steve Boyd, in the primary 2-1, mm-hmm. but she outspent him 8-1, eight to one. Mm-hmm. So if I can raise funds between now and August, and I'm doing that every day right now, Steve, there's a real chance that she will lose the primary if she goes against her pledge to abide and decides to primary if I win the endorsement.
Yeah, that's an interesting point that you mentioned, that she has, if I heard you right, she has made a commitment and said publicly that if she loses the endorsing convention by 60%, so she gets 40% or less, that she will not go into the primary. Did I hear you right?
That's correct. Now, okay. There's nothing in the law that says that.
Yep.
But she's supposed to not file for that primary, and then you would see my name. And there's an interesting historical the prevalence of just some name you've never heard of showing up on the primary ballot, but her name should not appear on that primary ballot if she honors her pledge.
Okay. So what was the context? Where did she say that, and how did that come across?
You mentioned public statement, but it's not public. All it is a form that the candidate signed and turned into the party officers.
Okay, got it.
But I'm told by the party officers that she signed it 4 or 5 weeks ago.
Yeah, okay, got it. Yeah, and you said that. I apologize. I didn't lock that into my brain. So, okay, so the big thing for you then is, Go win the, I mean, forget about raising money, forget about campaigning, whatever, just win the hearts and the minds over the people that go to the endorsing convention. How do you do that?
Well, you visit them. We have 38 counties in the 7th Congressional District, 39 BPOUs, Senate District 12 and Senate District 13. Those aren't counties in and of themselves, but if you count those two, then I think it's 39 BPOUs. And those are folks. Those are delegates. Those are activists. And I have visited in this last 6 or 7 weeks or so of the annual convention cycle, at least 20 of those. And then team members of mine have visited the others when I couldn't make it to all of them.